Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and a very safe weekend. And, boy, New Year is upon us. And real quick, let me just say thank you to all of our listeners that have been with us over these 10 years of Haystack Help Radio and Sportsman of Colorado that we do on Saturdays, and all of our sponsors and friends and folks that have helped us along the way. I am very, very thankful. So thank you, and once again, just hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Well, let's talk about water with the pro from Water Pros. Paul Dowding. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Good morning and Merry Christmas to everybody out there. And thanks for, inviting us, to your radio home.
Hey, it's your show, man. I'm just part of it. All right, Paul, what's the best Christmas gift you ever got?
The best Christmas gift I ever got? Well, it was...
Now, your dad's here, just for our radio listeners. Paul's dad just gave him a stare like, you better mention something I gave you.
I'm thinking that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking right now. Would that to be the air hockey machine?
Oh, we got an air hockey. Those are cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And then, we had a bumper pool table one time. Yep. That was good. And then I think my best one was a strobe light, right, that I loved, right? Back at the end of disco, right, strobe light. And then... Right. But then my dad lent it to some friends, and they broke it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was broke. But, good thing he was able to fix it. But, I was like, I didn't want to lend it out either. It's like, no, no, no. Oh, come on, come on. And sure enough, I got it back, and it was rattling.
Hey, is it working? Yes, no. Yes,
yeah,
no.
It's working now. Yeah. It was very traumatic, too, sure. That happened as a kid. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about the video games we all grew up with. I was talking to a guy the other day. Remember that Pong where you just
had the
ball that went from paddle to paddle? And now you look at what is out there. My stars.
We'll start out with Pong, right? Yeah. And then that game, the next one was Breakout. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's just, I hope all these kids, realize that what they have today, right, is just truly amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what else is amazing? Water Pros, their service and their knowledge to help you have better water in your home. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So, Paul has given me a term, bioaccumulate. So give us some education there, sir.
Okay, so I want everybody to go to my website in the main page, and there's an article that we posted from 9 News, Channel 9. And what they're going to do, your water districts are going to, it's going to be reusable water. And it's the fastest way, right, for the water resource, for them to accumulate the water supply to, feed the water needs of the community. And what that is, it goes from the waste treatment plant right back into your home. And that concerns me because it's not allowing water to go through the natural Mother Nature process of trying to break down some of the harmful contaminants or medical grade waste contaminants that are in our water, right? And that's a concern. And so if they keep doing that reusable cycle and the water temperature is warm, the pH is not allowed to be adjusted to a lower level acidic where it can start, breaking down some of those pharmaceuticals, we're going to have issues that, I think it's all going to be concerned for everybody. And so pharmaceuticals are the vitamins and the prescription drugs, the illegal drugs. All that is in our water supply. I want to talk to a gentleman that mm-hmm. that right? And they, there's a reservoir that they're building, and they even mentioned that they're testing and finding every major store-bought pharmaceutical in the water supply already. So it's a huge concern. The way to remove it is through reverse osmosis drinking water. I think everybody really needs to think about, when you take that glass of water, what are you really drinking?
If we were to see the fluid, I'll call it, before it came out of our faucet, that we would probably never want to drink water.
Well, and that's a great point. So what they're doing, so they're bleaching the water. So your disinfectant, I was going to say antiseptic, but the disinfectant is a chlorine bleach ammonia mixture called chloramine. And that basically takes that water and turns it nice and clear.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that that's also free of contaminants. One of the bigger issues we had was excess fluoride in the water, right? And it was doing damage to kids' gums. And then there were articles about estrogen in the water and what that was doing to children. So think about that process as well. We have a lot of folks in our community that take certain, you know, kind of drugs to, you know, by their choice. And, and that's something that bioaccumulate, you know, what we, are they really, are our water, people in charge of our water district, have they stopped to think about what levels? For example, penicillin. If folks are allergic to penicillin, what level does have to be? And I know that things are measured in a part per trillion, a part per billion, sure, right? What level does it have to be before it starts becoming harmful to us? Mm-hmm. And have they released, have you seen them release any study or reports stating that? I haven't seen anything.
No.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But so the possibility, you just have to say this, is the possibility there?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. And so that's why I think it's really important that we really start, you know, taking a look. I think also a lot of these water districts are folks that are appointed by other members of our, you know, city and county government. Mm-hmm. So I think we really need to understand who's on those boards, what their qualifications are, what their background is, right? What's their affiliation? Do they understand what the bigger issue could be? And because of the drought and because of water levels at certain reservoirs, you know, people are panicking. And so they're looking for other ways. California, you know, and Colorado leads the way when it comes to technology. A lot of building, you know, technology in California, you know, comes east to Colorado. And so they started this process. I think San Diego was one of the first ones to start. You know, they call it from the toilet to the tap. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, they're looking at it thinking, if you read that article that was on from that I put on my website from 9 News, they say, well, it's something that's already being done, meaning, you know, one community dumps it into, you know, a reservoir or the Platte River, and then somebody takes it right back out, right? But at that point, right, once it touches a bigger body of water, you know, it's different. You know, sure, it's not the same. And then the temperature, you know, and the pH balance can affect those, you know, I call them hazard, you know, biohazard, because that's mm-hmm. What it is. Think about the super viruses that in California are testing in the waste treatment plants. Superbugs, they call them. They're coming from hospitals, right? And on TV during COVID, they knew which community, right, had the higher outbreak than others because they went right to the waste treatment plant to test that water to get the viruses out of the water, right? So it's something that we really have to open our eyes and think, you know, what if? And I don't think we should rely on a local government, right, to, you know, to do that, or the EPA standards for the Clean, Safe Drinking Water Act. They had a standard regarding the forever chemicals, PFOs and PFAs, that was recently adjusted that caused municipalities to issue that letter saying, hey, your water's not safe to drink.
And you know, you think about whenever we've traveled in the past, a lot of times, and people say, man, don't drink the water. You know, if you're in these foreign countries, you almost wonder if those coming over to visit the United States one day are going to go, hey, whatever you do, don't drink the water.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The first, you know, if you go south of the border, that was one of the things.
Sure.
Right. Don't drink the water.
I'm telling you.
Right. So it's the greater our community grows, and we're fortunate because if you see growth, that means jobs, right? So we should be thankful for that. But the water resources are, you know, are limited. And I, you know, I was telling everybody, you know, years ago that, you know, it's not anything. It was basically a dissipate, you know, water, the chemical, you'd have a factor where it's diluted, right? That they stop taking it from the reservoirs mm-hmm. and they do that recycling that they're talking about where then you're not diluting anymore. And so, again, I'm being, you know, repetitive here. What's the buildup factor? What's something at the point where some drug is going to start affecting, you know, people? Mm-hmm. And some drug can be anything. It can be antibiotics. What if the antibiotics that everybody are taking right now because of cold and flu season that we now drink with the water, and then the bacteria become resistant because, you know, they're encountering it every single day.
Right.
And all the drugs that we take, all the vitamins that we take, what does our body do? Our body does everything it can to get it out, expel it. It's a foreign object. We don't want it. And so those are things that, you know, medication is becoming a part of, you know, a lot of people's lives now. Mm-hmm. And so we have to think the broader picture, how does it affect our water supply?
Right. Paul Dowding is our guest. Once again, trust the pros at Water Pros. You can give them a call, 303-862-5554. Again, that's 303-862-5554. Mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio, and we'd appreciate that. And if you want to catch that article we're talking about from 9 News, it's at waterpros.net. You know, you also wonder what's the standard that they're using to say, okay, now this water is clean. And because the drought, all the different things, you wonder, do they ever lower those standards? And we know nothing about that.
Well, then absolutely. So there's certain chemical contaminants that we have in our body right now. So we mentioned before about the PFO-PFA problem. If you go to our website under products, the very bottom of the page, then there's a tab on the right you can click on. That's an article that we posted from the EPA, and it talks about that bioaccumulate procedure process, the thought, and it's, you know, from that, those products, PFO, PFAs, are getting to the grass, getting to the animals that we eat, so there's a certain percentage of that chemical that everybody has. And so now you're talking about part per billion, part per centrillion. It's just, it's mind-boggling, you know, what those effects are. So if that contaminant, right, is being thought of, can you imagine what else is out there that they haven't brought to our attention yet, because it would create a big panic?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think, common sense is a dying commodity in today's world, so you have to think.
Yeah, that's a given.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to think, all the years, remember when you and I were kids and, you know, everybody cleaned their cars, did it themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you wash your hands, right, you know, the grease, and well, what do we do? Some people took oil and dumped it down the toilet, right? And so other contaminants, you know, in that matter, build up over a period of time, and then you figure how many, what's in the fish. They already talk about that, right, in the seafood,
right.
The issue there. So it's just something I think we really need to be aware. I think people really need to think about taking the drinking water quality and be responsible themselves. Mm-hmm. Don't rely, you know, on the government to do it. And I encourage people to think about that process. I think water treatment, reverse osmosis drinking water systems are going to be as common, you know, in a home in the next 3 years, like the hot water heater, like the dishwasher, like the washing machine. It's just going to be a part of our everyday life. It's something that we're going to have. Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it does not take much of an event. We were talking about last time you were on, the event in Houston, remember,
when mm-hmm.
millions had to boil water. Think about if that happened and it lasted several weeks, a month.
Well, exactly.
What a mess.
We're relying on basically it's like a manufacturing process to produce water, if you mm-hmm. think about it. And if there's a breakdown and then there's bacteria that gets in there, that's huge. And so, like, was it like 7 million people, right?
Yeah, it was a bunch.
Right.
In Texas, we would say a bunch, and it was in Texas.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, we had an issue in Englewood. You know, with that, and it was E. coli bacteria for the city water supply.
Right.
So the thought is this: bottled water in the 80s was a fad, but now it's something that's becoming necessity. Mm-hmm. Right. People think about it all the time. So one of the problems with bottled water is the waste. And I'm sure you all have seen the videos with, you know, and the islands of debris of plastic, right,
sure.
in our oceans. So with the reverse osmosis, you eliminate the bottle. You can, you know, have reusable bottles where you take the water with you wherever you go. You just fill it up from home. You have quality water for drinking, for cooking. And then it all starts also with folks we talked about that, you know, water treatment isn't plug and play. So if you're, you know, if you see hard water build up in your fixtures and your faucets, that will affect how the filter operates and its performance.
Sure. Paul Dowding is our guest. Once again, it is Water Pros. Hey, over two decades of experience. Give them a call, 303-862-5554. When we come back, we're going to talk to Paul a little bit more, hey, about the process. Can you still get something maybe for your home as far as a water softener, water purifier before the end of the year? You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Thinking rates are too high to buy a home? Wish they were in the threes or fours? Well, your wait is over. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With a 3-2-1 buy-down, you can now purchase a home at 3.193% first year, 4.913% second, 5.913 the third, and the remaining years at 6.913 with an APR of 6.985. If rates go down, refinance and save even more. On a $400,000 loan, your monthly payment would be over $748 a month less the first year, $511 the second, $262 the third, with a total savings of over $18,000. Before you buy, take AIM, 720-895-0500. 3-to-1 buy-downs available up to 95% loan-to-value. If you're thinking about home ownership, now may be the best time to purchase. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Own your new home and save thousands in payments. That's 720-895-0500. 80% LTV, 30-year fixed, 6.985% APR, 740 FICO, primary home, rates as of 11/16, NMLS 298191, and rates subject to change.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, Paul Dowding is our guest. Water Pros, give them a call, 303-862-5554, waterpros.net. And Paul, we were talking about, and hey, let's give credit to Pops, okay? Hey, his dad's in studio, didn't want to be on there, but we were talking about something during the break there about going back to when where Houston folks had to boil their water. What is boiling water really doing?
It's boiling off the water in vapor, but then any chemical contamination, you're increasing the concentration. So let's talk about nitrates.
Okay.
Nitrates are a common problem in folks that live in the foothills, also in the eastern plains on well water. And nitrates can come from pine tree roots, for example. And they're very harmful. They can cause, you know, miscarriages in humans and animals and tummy issues. So when you have nitrates in there, and that the EPA states anything that's over 10 part per million is hazardous to drink. But I tell folks, if you're close, if you're halfway, if you're at 5 part per million in nitrates and you're boiling water for spaghetti, mm-hmm. right, and the water evaporates, well, what's left now is a higher concentrate of nitrates. And so, you know, my dad made a good point. If you're boiling water, you know, water will evaporate. But what's left over, right, is the chemical contamination, the vitamins and the antibiotics and mm-hmm. the pesticides that, you know, will be in greater concentration.
Because it's really not getting rid of some of those things. Like he was saying, it maybe kills whatever may be alive in that water. But it's,
right.
other than that, it's not really purifying water.
So reverse osmosis is nanofiltration, which is 0.001.
Okay.
Right? And that's small enough where water is a lighter particle that will travel on through, but the heavier contaminants will be trapped. The pharmaceuticals, the unwanted chemicals, contamination will be trapped by the reverse osmosis membrane. So reverse osmosis will, you know, give you 98% to 99%, you know, pure H2O mm-hmm. just because of the sub-nanofiltration, you know, process. When you're filtering water, and it goes back to the bigger picture, how hard is the water? Because water hardness is a liquid, right, called sure. calcium carbonate. As it oxidizes, it converts to a scale, which is a rock. I want to say again, there's no such thing as salt-free water softeners. Okay. So that scale buildup will build up around that filter. And so then water, instead of being absorbed by water filtration, will bounce off and pass on through. So that's why you really need to know how hard the water is. If your water hardness is on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being really soft, 10 is really hard. Most reverse osmosis units can operate effectively where the filters could last up to a year on water that's 7 grains per gallon or less.
Okay.
Now, the more water you use, obviously that's going to change. Okay. And so anything we like to say, anything that's 7 grains or above, you really want to use a water softener because the RO system operates, reverse osmosis, operates ideally in soft water because you're removing the scale. Okay. Now, whole house conditioners that we also offer, we can soften the water and also have whole house systems that remove the total chlorine content, mm-hmm. the PFOs and PFAs. You add a reverse osmosis with that, and now the RO can focus on other contaminants as well. And so, you know, you get a greater, you know, filtration ability because you're removing other contaminants that would take up the filter space, if that makes sense. And so it can focus more. Pharmaceuticals are all organic, right? It's man-made.
Right.
And so let's be, you know, grateful that we don't live in an industrial area where there's, you know, chemicals from manufacturing, right, that, you know, will just eat up a filter, and there's, you know, huge issues there.
Mm-hmm.
So, the East Coast has major problems. I know in North Carolina, DuPont had a settlement where they had to, you know, provide reverse osmosis to, communities and neighborhoods because they had a chemical contamination. Think about the agricultural communities, Iowa and Illinois and Nebraska, where they use nitrogen, you know, in the fields, and all that nitrogen that they're putting in those fields as a fertilizer is now building up in huge supplies in people's groundwater, well water, where the nitrates are just outrageously high. And so that's, you know, something that, you know, we were doing 40 years, 50 years, and we never, common sense being a dying commodity, we never stopped to think, you know, the obvious, that's going to affect the, you know, water, the drinking water source.
Right.
And so it goes back to whatever we eat, accumulated. So people that do freshwater fishing and, you have high levels of nitrates, that's going to affect you as well. So it's one reaction, affects the other.
Sure.
So that's why with drinking water, I really want people, especially going into the new year, to really think about, what they have and think about their responsibility to ensure that they and their family have the best possible safe glass of water, because it's more than just, drinking. Our body needs it, right? Mm-hmm. We cook with it all the time, the coffee, the teas. You're going to get a coffee maker for Christmas. It's one of those things that having good quality H2O, right, really makes a difference.
Absolutely. Once again, Water Pros, waterpros.net, 303-862-5554. And you've heard me say this most of the time when Paul's on. We had him do a water softener for us. And one thing I appreciated about Paul's process was he didn't come in with some kind of chemical bag of his own to show us some water testing, of doing some kind of magical drops that made everything look bad, whatever. Hey, he used our bottle water, a dishcloth of ours, our bowl, and proved to us about our water. Of course, we knew in Highlands Ranch we had hard water, but I'm telling you, it has made a vast difference for our house. But since we're kind of talking about quality of drinking water, Paul, let's talk about what you do when folks call you and you come out to their house. What testing and how does that work?
So first thing we do is we come out to the home and, ask basic questions. What are their major concerns? And a lot of them, call us because the hard water build up on the shower head, the fixtures, they affect the dishwasher, right, new appliances. When folks move into a brand new home, you get a brand new appliance package.
Sure.
And within a short period of time, they see what the hard water buildup does. So we'll test the water hardness. Next thing we do is the total chlorine test. That measures the chloramine, which is the chlorine mixed with ammonia. And then we go over the water results with them and make our recommendations. All our products are made here in the USA, and that's important to me because I just don't trust anything overseas when it's coming to our water quality or drinking
mm-hmm.
water.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, we 9 times out of 10, folks go with a water softener and a whole house filter, or water softener with the reverse osmosis.
Right.
The whole house filter, helps reduce the total chlorine content, helps with the PFOs and PFAs. But the reverse osmosis and its sub-nano filtration, that's really what attacks, all those unwanted pharmaceuticals, medication. And people really think about that. And I'm kind of banging the drum on this because I feel it's something that a couple of weeks ago I called you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Scott, you're not going to believe this. Holy cow, think, right? We talked about this. And it's been something that's been on my mind since then because I'm legitimately concerned because people have a false sense of security. Now, I'm not saying water's unsafe to drink. I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't want, people to think that. What I'm saying is that, think about the possibilities, the what if, and then, take the responsibility of clean drinking water on your own so that way you know, mm-hmm. What you have, And what you have is with reverse osmosis filtration, you have something that's going to reduce those contaminants. And people go on the website, and your water company, your water district, by laws, is supposed to report what the testings are. Read those. See what's there. Mm-hmm. See what levels they are and how close they are to what the EPA standard is. And do we really want to trust what the EPA recommended, minimum contamination level could be?
Sure.
Right? Because that's what they're saying is safe. But in the grant, and talk to your family doctor. Ask that question.
Yep, absolutely. So let's ask this. If you've got a family of two or seven, I realize it may make a difference, but just trying to give people an idea of a range of reverse osmosis system. So, I mean, what are we looking at kind of installed in everything basically for maybe, when I say a basic system, I mean, they're all the same, it's bigger, but I mean, what are we looking at?
So right now, until December 24th, why supplies last, and, you know, we just got a shipment in, we're doing a reverse osmosis that's manufactured in Wisconsin, installed for $950. After the holidays, you know, I think they're going to be about $1,100, but that's still, you know, $300 to $500 cheaper than what
our competitors are. You know what I was expecting? $3,000-$4,000. I mean, honestly, I was.
And so, you know, we have the water softeners are, you know, normally $21.95, but, you know, we have them on sale for $19.95 installed, and that's our base, you know, smart computer unit. We also offer whole house conditioners. Right. We have a matrix system, which is, you know, a really popular, you know, product for ours. That's whole house conditioning that has a multimedia. It's a KDF with activated carbon and resin. You know, that's only $49.95 installed, and that, you know, that's still cheaper than what a lot of my competitors start out with, a whole house water softener.
Right.
You know, so we're very affordable, but we got the best products, I feel, because they're made in the USA, and we just don't have service call issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're at our office, you know, and the phone rings, it's because it's a new inquiry. It's not because somebody has a problem with the existing equipment.
Yeah.
And yours has been installed how long?
5 months, maybe four or five months. Yeah, right. It's been great.
Right. The only thing that happened is you forgot to add the
software.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
You do have to add the software. I needed that reminder, and I did that recently. So, but no, I mean, it's been a vast difference. I'm telling you, you can feel that soft water and shower.
Feel the difference. Eliminate dry skin.
A lot.
Right, and you cut back on detergents.
Yeah.
See, so if you cut back on soaps and detergents, those soaps and detergents end up in our environment,
sure,
in our water supply. So you cut that back. Soft water helps our water resource because then it eliminates a lot of the cleaning products, that acids to break down. When that hardness turns into a scale, it's a rock, you're using an acid to dissolve it, right? And so you got that rock buildup with soap on the shower door, and folks
when
have to wear
it. At the end of our faucets, you saw the buildup
build
and different
there,
things.
Right. Yeah, so people use
imagine what that's doing inside.
Exactly. But you know, hard water can, you know, it's a fact, hard water, our body doesn't absorb minerals. So as you get older, hard water can cause kidney stones, gallstones. My wife has a family friend who has calcium buildup around her heart. So it's something that, you know, we need to think about.
Absolutely. Water pros, give them a call. Hey, that's who I trusted, and I promise you, you can too. Hey, great special. Give them a call. Paul will come out, get you taken care of. 303-862-5554, and it's waterpros.net. Paul, as always, our time goes too quickly, but man, Merry Christmas to you and your family, sir.
Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to 2023 of working with you, sir.
Yeah, amen.
It's
me too. Be blessed. Thank you
very
much.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride the trails. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get a rattle. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Food Chat. Food Chat, sponsored by RanchFreshMeats.com, is brought to you every week on KLZ Radio 560 on your AM dial. Your hosts, Greg Bloom and myself, Jackson Lamb, always available to share with you our intimate knowledge of the food industry. My background is a chef and restaurant manager. Greg's background, rancher, farmer, importer, exporter of agricultural goods. We've got all of the answers. We just don't know your questions. Welcome to Food Chat. Greg, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What a fun show this will be
today. It's going to be a great show. We're going to be talking about how to select and cook roast. Because, you know, this time of year, it's winter. The holidays are coming up. And now it's a great time to, you know, invite your friends, your family over and serve them up a great holiday roast. But how do you cook it and how do you pick the right one?
You know, Greg, it's kind of interesting to see the transition in all of the local supermarkets. You know, they gear up for Halloween, and all of a sudden, all that stuff has gone, and then it's turkey time. And, you know, within one or two days after Thanksgiving, they are set for Christmas. Right. And you can see the inventory changes dramatically. Now I'm seeing, you know, not pork chops, but pork roasts. I'm not seeing lamb chops, but big legs of lamb. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing those big roasts that you're describing here, and that really is very typical of the holiday season.
Yeah, and on the food service side, you know, my chefs all have switched over to their winter menu, and that winter menu has things on there that their regular menu doesn't, like osso buco, you know, and a lot of roasts, and, just stuff that's going to be, you know, comfort food in the winter when you're freezing cold, that kind of stuff.
You know? Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I've tried to teach in the past in class, and the students really don't have the exposure to it anymore, is the steamship roast. And what's the other one?
Well, the steamship roast, if people don't know what that is, you know, I used to sell those when I worked for a meat plant, and we'd get special requests for a steamship roast, and that's a round roast, so it's the end of the animal, the round from the hind, but with the bone left in, and then the bone actually has a handle on it, because it's a carving station roast.
Yeah.
So that's what you're referring to, right?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless you're going to brunch or dinner at the Broadmoor or the Brown Palace or, you know, a big hotel or a big brunch place, you know, regular restaurants don't put that one up.
I asked a guy at a meat conference once, an old-timer, how did the steamship roast get its name? And he said it goes all the way back to the days when they were steamshipping up and down the Mississippi River, and that was a very common thing for them to serve the guests on the steamship, would be a carving station roast. And to this day, a lot of cruise liners will still serve that in the buffet. So that's where it got its name from.
One of the great things about it is, you know, as we have 100 people coming through the buffet, how do you like yours? Rare. We go right to the bone,
right?
You know? How do you like yours? I like it medium well. We go to the other side where it's not cut yet, and it's still well done, and then medium well, and then medium. So we can find any cut on a steamship roast.
Yeah, and on any roast, you can find the right cut. And what I do when I serve roasts at my house to guests, and I did this over the weekend, is I cut that roast, and then I cut it in half. And I do a carving station where I'm there with my apron on, and I'm serving my guests as if they're in a restaurant. And I say, how would you like your roast beef, Chef Jackson Lamb? Would you like a medium rare or rare? And if they say, I want one that's, you know, medium rare or rare, I cut it out of the middle. And then someone comes along and says, I would like mine kind of well done. Well, I got the end cut right there, done for them, you know. So it's just easy to do it that way. That's a better way to present it because it stays warm and it looks so nice than to cut it all up into steaks and then, like, let them help themselves. That's not the right way to do it.
Absolutely. And then on the smaller side, we've got what's called a baron of beef. And that really is a top round or a bottom round whole separated, bone is taken out of there.
Right.
So that instead of, you know, let's go backwards just for a second. And I've worked these big steamship roasts. We're talking a 70-pound piece of meat.
Feed a lot of people.
Oh, it takes a... I'll tell you what. This has to be in the oven minimum 12 hours, if not more.
Yeah, right.
So when we drop down to the baron of beef, that's usually just a top round. So now we're talking about a 20-pounder. One person can handle that.
Yeah, and that will fit in their oven. You know, no one's going to buy a steamship roast and fit it in their kitchen oven. So, yes, let's talk about the roast from one end of the animal to the other. Let's talk beef first.
Okay.
Let's switch over to lamb and pork, but... as far as beef roasts go, there are many options, right? So yeah. You've got your, we talked first about the round roast, the steamship, and the baron of beef. Those are super lean roasts, no fat in them at all. They're great for roast beef. They're great for carving, but they don't have the flavor, I don't think, that like a rib roast or a chuck roast would have. So what do you think about the chuck roast for like pot roast or for a carving station roast versus a round roast like the baron of beef?
Well, you know, the thing is, we were talking about the steamships. We were talking about the barons. Really the same cut.
Exactly.
We take that baron of beef and we trim that down even more. And now we've got a top round roast. And so, and you talked about getting that bone rolled and tied.
Yes.
You know, so you can go into some of the local butcher shops here in Denver and have that done so it is oven ready. And we're talking the same cut of meat, all right?
Yep.
But let's move a little forward there on the cow.
Yeah, the carcass. Steer. Yeah, on the carcass, sure.
You know, I think the chuck is the one of the most misrepresented muscles on the entire animal, only because, you know, we've got that... is that where we help me out with my Latin terms? It's the teres.
Teres major.
Teres major.
The teres major is in the chuck roast. Yeah, yes. So is the flat iron. Comes
exactly. Out of the chuck roast. And so, you know, that's a very interesting story. The
yes.
USDA Meat Buyer's Guide.
Mm-hmm.
That was established over 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's an old, old book.
It's old. And while we still use it, and it's really what we use to buy meat. In America, and that's why the meat is cut differently in Mexico, okay?
Right.
Completely different. But 100 years ago, they didn't have the research techniques that we see today. And the chuck is a great example. That's a pretty big muscle. Let's go back in there, take another look at that, and see if it's not as tough as we think it is. And that's how we discovered the teres major.
Right. They found that in that chuck, two-piece chuck, there's the clod and the roll. And inside that, there's three muscles that can be separated from it. One of them was the teres major. Yep. One of them was the flat iron. But I love the chuck roast for pot roast, like in the crock pot. I don't like it as much as I like a round roast or a other roast, like a rib roast or a top sirloin roast, because there's a lot of fat in it and there's a lot of seams in it. So you can't get a chuck roast typically and just carve it like you're carving for a prime rib. Your guests are going to get some sinew, and unless you seamed out the pieces, it's not the best option unless yeah. You're just going to cook it all day in the crock pot. Then it all falls apart anyway, right?
Well, and I think it's very important that we understand a little bit of food science behind all that. You know, you can have a piece of tenderloin that's not trimmed properly. It's going to be tough,
right?
You know, so, you know, coming back to the chuck, it's my new favorite muscle. It really is. I'll tell you, here's a great story. Local supermarket had chuck roast on sale, $3.95. well, you know, you go in there and it's not like we have, you know, terrific butchers there. They're just kind of slicing stuff up mm-hmm. in big chunks and putting it wrapping it up, putting it on display. But I'm walking through and I recognize there's that entire teres major cut out and in its own packaging.
Right.
I recognize the muscle. I took it home and we sous vide it for about 2 hours and then pan seared it for about 10 or 15 minutes. As tender as tenderloin steak.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Just delicious. Yeah, in fact, the chuck muscle, the teres major, I believe is the second or third most tender muscle on the beef carcass. Well, let's talk about The two other, between the chuck and the round, you have the ribs, you know, right behind the chuck on the carcasses, the ribs, and then you have the sirloin. So yeah, we'll talk about that just briefly, and then we'll talk about cooking methods, like how is the best way, what is the best way to cook these. So we've got the chucks, and then we've got right behind it the rib, the ribeye. So people would mostly in the, I think in the HRI, the restaurant industry, they call it a ribeye. I need a ribeye to make a prime rib. Consumers out there, they call it a prime rib.
Right.
I want a prime rib. Well, you really want a lip-on ribeye. Right. What is a lip-on? That means there's a tail on it. What's that mean? That means there's a 1-inch piece of fat at the end, right? Yeah. So on the side.
The lifter,
right. So that's on the end of it. So typically when you go into anywhere to buy your rib roast, you know, you're going to want to look for a fresh roast that has, just like a steak, some age on it. Don't get one that was, a week old. You want it in the cryovac or the vacuum sealed bag that's been there for, 20 to 30 days, because that enzymes and bacteria is breaking down. It's going to taste lovely. People that go out to eat for the holidays, we did a whole show on whether to cook at home or whether to go out, right? If you go out and have a prime rib, that chef has aged that prime rib in the bag, in the vacuum bag, for probably 20 to 30 days before he cooked it.
Right. The real trick there, Greg, is to get to the meat before the store does.
That's right.
Because they're going to cut that bag open, because a lot of times people are not looking for a 12-pound prime rib 109. You know, they want a half of a prime rib, or they want a quarter of a prime rib. Just two bones is all I want. And so as a result, it's not in that cryovac bag. Well, that's okay. You know, old school on prime rib is, you know, you'd start in a hot oven, turn that down, and have it crusty on the outside and rare on the inside. There's so many other cooking methods that we're seeing today that that sometimes the oven is the last place we go.
Right. So let's just finish the options for roast. There's tenderloin roast. There's top sirloin roast. There's the top sirloin has two pieces. One, the biggest piece is called the football or the heart or the center. And then there's a cap on the top that's called a culotte or a picanha. And at RanchFreshMeats.com, you can actually buy a Wagyu culotte or a Wagyu picanha, just the top. One of the most flavorful steak experiences you'll ever have is eating that picanha or that culotte. We'll talk about cooking methods next. But anyway, there's lots of great options.
Sure.
Anything else you want to talk about before you start talking about cooking methods?
Well, let's just keep working our way down the hind quarter.
Right.
You know, as we get down there, now we're talking load-bearing muscles.
Right.
Now we're talking tougher cuts of meat. So, right. You know, when we're talking about the holidays, these are probably not, beef shank, well, osso buco. That's where that comes into play.
If you braise it, cook it low and slow all day long in liquid, it's delicious.
But absolutely. It's
like a brisket. It has to cook for a long time at low temp. Yeah.
And then you come around to the chest of the animal, and we do have the brisket. And so, again, low and slow, that's a tough, tough piece of meat. And if you try to rush it, you'll never get good results. You know, that's got to go low and slow.
You're right. Now, we've talked beef this whole time, but there's other roasts. What other roasts are there if they want to serve another type of roast?
I just saw